In Connecticut, we've launched Energy Storage Solutions, a program that incentivizes Eversource and UI customers to install batteries in their homes and businesses. When a major storm hits, you'll have backup if the power goes out. Learn more at energystoragect.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Vijay Vatiswaran, the Energy and Green Innovation Editor for The Economist magazine. Observing a scene in the distant past, early part of this century, in which a young entrepreneur, or a team of them, walk into a venture capital fund, everybody arranged around listening to the pitch, and the first sentence includes the word clean tech. At that point, the senior partners in the room suddenly want lots of coffee and leave the room. What does that tell us about where we've been in the idea of green innovation and where we're going? Vijay, a very good evening to you. Presuming those senior partners are now listening, what is it that they missed in the early part of this century that they will now hear in this part of the century? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Good to be with you. You're quite right that there was a time just a few years ago when clean tech, as it was called, that is various forms of early stage companies investing in risky, unproven ways to do clean energy and related technologies were in the doghouse. There had been a bit of a wave, an enthusiasm, a boom for clean tech 10, 12 years ago, and it attracted quite a lot of money from venture capital. But what we found was that those technologies were really hard. It's not as easy as two guys in a garage coming up with a social media app, which can get to market quickly and iterate quickly and create the next Twitter, scale up to hundreds of millions of users in a few months. It's really hard to figure out energy storage, for example, for the grid or some advanced form of renewable energy. And the venture capitalists lost patience. They didn't wait through and they couldn't find follow-on capital or what's called scaling capital from the next round of so-called private equity or growth investors. And even the companies that were able to develop promising technologies in the labs, they might need $100 million or more to build a pilot plant, let's say, to prove that it can be done at scale. They couldn't get the financing for that, and the VCs typically don't fund those size projects. And so a lot of good ideas withered on the vine. And that's that winter that you're talking about of clean tech, when venture capitalists, senior guys, would leave the room if another clean tech entrepreneur turned up with a great idea.
We reach back to the late 20th century to something that has significance for those of us who are old enough to remember. But for the younger investors and the younger listeners, the Netscape moment. It's an antique term now, but at one time dominated the conversation everywhere. Vijay, what is the Netscape moment when we use it today with regard to green innovation?
So Netscape was a breakthrough company that came up with a new kind of technology. In their case, something called a software browser to search the internet, this new wild and woolly field that was hard to navigate. And it was a startup, and it had come out of nowhere, really. And that moment is arriving now in what's called climate technology industry. And that's the new name for clean tech, because clean tech has such a negative association because so many people lost so much money on it. But climate tech is a very exciting bundle of areas ranging from energy, where you'd expect, but also AI and software for grid management to agriculture, for example, ways of changing land use to use less greenhouse gases and to be less polluting, to other dimensions of our life, anything that would really lead to a decarbonized society and lead to industry emitting fewer greenhouse gases. And that's the area where we're beginning to see companies like that Netscape. And today, climate tech unicorns, companies that are private with a $1 billion valuation that haven't gone public yet, there are 25 of them in the world, which is breathtaking.
Yes, the one that I was most immediately, well, I've got to look at this, is Beyond Meat versus Impossible Foods. What do they do? What makes them worth $8 billion?
Well, these companies will be familiar to anybody that's tried to get a burger that's not made from beef. And, of course, we, in the old days, we might have tried the veggie burgers that were made from beans or something quite disgusting. And, frankly, the experience was not very positive for most people. The reason to try these kinds of alternative proteins, which are today, you can go to a Burger King and get a burger that is not made with beef, which is seems almost un-American, right? It's apple pie, hamburgers, and American lifestyle seems to be at risk. But in fact, it's a hugely successful product at Burger King because it tastes good. That's the big breakthrough. They figured out how to make alternative proteins that taste quite delicious and, very importantly, have a very low greenhouse gas profile. We are increasingly aware that raising cattle encroaches on, for example, in Brazil, the tropical rainforest. It leads to deforestation, but also is very greenhouse gas intensive, in part because, of course, cows are big producers of methane. And so there's multiple reasons to think about cutting down on our consumption of beef, and alternative proteins offer a tasty way to do it.
So the VCs, the venture capital funds, are back at the door knocking, asking questions. And I note everybody knows Tesla. That is a green innovation company that started. Vijay, I see the statistics here are stunning. I did not pay attention until these last years. It went from $1.7 billion valuation in 2010 to $718 billion in 2021, and with expectations of greater than that of taking over the solar system if Mr. Musk has his way. However, there are many more companies that are unknown at this point. I want to go now to who's paying attention. It's not just those senior partners in the VC funds in the Silicon Valley, Sand Hill Road. It's also, first, a list sovereign states. And what is the breakthrough energy catalyst at DOE? What does that represent?
So there's a very interesting group of investors led by Bill Gates and a number of his billionaire friends that he's organized to invest in what they call deep technologies, which are very hard to solve problems to do with climate change. And they are ready to take a long-term view, not just the usual 3 to 5 year window that venture capitals take that invest in risky technologies. They're ready to wait 10 years or longer on advanced materials, on decarbonizing steel and cement, on dealing with agricultural challenges to do with how we till soil and grow food. So they're making bets on early stage companies, sometimes in university labs, sometimes entrepreneurs that have come up with very promising ideas that can cut at least 1% of global greenhouse gas emissions a year. That is, they have to be very big potential solutions. Advanced fusion reactors are an example of some of the things that Bill Gates is interested in. And so this is an example of patient capital taking on very deep long-term problems. And interestingly, they've struck a deal with America's Department of Energy just a few days ago to work together to invest in some advanced areas. In this example, it would be hydrogen, for example, which is a potential part of the energy solution for the future in carbon sequestration and capture from the air and some other areas. They're working with Department of Energy, which has existing programs to fund early stage research and entrepreneurship in this area. So now Bill Gates and his gang are going to co-invest and help bring those ideas closer to reality. They struck a similar deal with the European Commission, the leadership in Brussels for the European Union, earlier in the year to spend $1 billion scaling up promising ideas as well. The idea is to get things over the technology valley of death, it's called, where great ideas come out of the laboratory, they get a bit of funding, they look really good, very promising, but then they die because you can't build up your first big commercial plant or scale to prove it to customers. And that's where these guys are coming in with very valuable capital and support.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about some technical terms here because we're using them, and it's, and I don't assume that they're easily understood. What is early stage venture capital versus late stage venture capital? What is risk tolerant venture capital? Are those terms of art? What is it that will help green innovation? What is it that's failed in the past?
So, John, my brilliant idea for storing energy using dirty socks. I've been working on it for years in my lab, and I think, you know, I've got it to a point where I can get it to work, and I just need $100,000, maybe $1 million, to get my company going. Well, I would turn to an angel investor or a venture capitalist who's ready to give me early stage capital. Super risky, obviously, given that my idea is totally bonkers. But nevertheless, there will be some venture capitalist somewhere who's willing to put a little bit of money in return for equity in my company. That's typically how it works, very early stage. Now, after 2-3 years of development and having a team, building up my dirty sock energy storage company, if I'm able to show that it works in the lab, which is probably my garage, and I say, look, all I need is $50 million to build a plant so I can put this to use on the New York grid. I can conserve energy for New York City, store energy, but I need a $50 million pilot plant. My venture capitalist will say, that's not early stage capital. Sorry, I can't help you. You need growth capital, scaling capital, and some other pocket, a bigger boy. Might be a private equity investor. Might be other forms of investors, maybe a family office or philanthropy that wants to support clean energy innovation may come in and be willing to take the next stage of risk. And of course, if somebody wants to stay with me until I hopefully get a final customer and become a bigger success, that might take me 10 years or longer. That's what we call patient capital. And that's usually not the venture capitalist. They don't like to wait around that long to get their returns. So you might need philanthropic money, some government money, or the Bill Gates type of patient capital for that longer term horizon.
Vijay's just given us a glimpse of where we're headed. He's named the enterprises that are now present that were not here in the late 20th or early 20th century. So, Vijay Vaitaswaran, the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine, the immediate future and the distant future for clean tech, green tech, dreams. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
In Connecticut, we've launched Energy Storage Solutions, a program that incentivizes Eversource and UI customers to install batteries in their homes and businesses. When a major storm hits, you'll have backup if the power goes out. Learn more at energystoragect.com.